Yo, what is up, everyone? This is Average Trey, and before getting into the real podcast, I wanted to give a quick preamble and just mention that this was recorded nearly a month ago on September 12th, so we were still trying to figure out our audio settings, so there were definitely some audio balance issues and some weird static at times, but if you just bear with that, it's listenable, I swear. So without further ado, enjoy this pilot episode of Sid and I's new podcast, Video Games Are Hard.
Yeah, speedrunning sucks. All right, how do we intro the podcast?
I mean, we don't need like a formal intro.
Did like, we do? Why not?
What it be, what it do?
this is Sid and Trey coming to you. It rhymes, bars.
Oh God, that's bars. Terrible.
Are we using that?
No.
I think that's the start of the podcast. I think we just started the podcast.
Oh boy.
This is Video Games Are Hard with Sid and Trey. Or Trey and Sid.
Already set the tone.
Yeah, this is how we set the tone.
We like to rhyme a lot.
Yeah. Speedrunning is garbage. This is the title for the first podcast. We don't really understand what speedrunning is garbage means. We were talking about it before we started recording, but I don't remember why we typed or we wrote that it was garbage.
We made that title because at the time it sounds like, oh, there's so much potential there. We could just cover, you know, what all the grind's about. You know, it's just speedrunning is cool and all. And, you know, it's how Sid and I became friends on the internet. But it's also garbage.
It's also garbage. For anybody that doesn't know us, you know? Like, people could be just tuning into the podcast being like, you know what? I watched Average Trey's History of Any Percent for SMS, you know?
That's all that, too.
Or just going reading the podcast being like, video games are hard. They don't even know what speedrunning is, you know? There's that person that exists. I feel like we can assume that person that doesn't exist, though.
Yeah, probably.
You know? Like,
or maybe it's actually everyone.
Maybe it's just like, because I don't want to go into what speedrunning is. That sounds like the lamest shit ever.
You already know what speedrunning is.
You already know.
From speedrunners like us perspective,
yeah.
You know, you might get some insight as to why parts of it are kind of garbage.
It is garbage.
But it's also, you know, a big hobby of mine for the past few years, and I love it dearly. But,
there's a lot of community that comes out of speedrunning. It's nice.
Oh yeah, like I find that, like, well, I don't know if this is like for everyone. Maybe I'm just stupid. But when I first started getting into speedrunning, I just wanted to be epic at the game, you know, like work towards being one of the best, whatever. Also, because it's a lot of fun to just play the game and get good at it. But like, until you really get involved with the community, you don't realize how much of an impact the quality of the community around a game makes.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, the community can make or break a speed game for me, from my experience. Because I've run other games in Sunshine. I've seen how multiple communities work. And Sunshine's definitely one of the best, but at times it can also be one of the worst.
Dude, so it's just super toxic all the time.
The eras
of toxicity within the SMS community that apparently exist.
Yep.
But see, Trey is saying that he started off going into speedrunning being like he wanted to be the best and then found the communities. I never wanted to be the best. Then again,
but we all have like that dream. It's like, oh, what if I had world record? People would think I'm so epic and follow me.
Yeah, but you've had world records in like categories that matter, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, eventually, like after playing for a while.
True.
I'm talking like first starting the game, you know. You wonder like, I wonder if I could ever get to that level. And honestly, when I started, I thought like, yeah, like as far as any percent, I'm never going to get there. Like probably never. But I actually, even from an early start, I saw how unoptimized 120 Shines was. Mm-hmm. Cause at the time it was like 343 by Samurai Man. And you can see with the old route, Pachinko was super early in the run. And I think he died in Pachinko like two or three times. And I'm like, you know, what if I did this run, learned the shines, just didn't die.
What if I learned the shots?
The record. And yeah, that was part of what inspired me to start. But like, honestly, there were several factors working together to really get me going to run the game, like as a whole.
I can't even think back to like what made me, like, everybody asks every now and then she's like, what made you start running Super Mario Sunshine? And I was like, my answer is always this blanket statement. I watched Tofool do his SGDQ run in 2013 and then when I owned the game. Like, that was the extent. Like, and then I started playing the game and it was like, it's kind of fun, you know? And then I like stopped playing. And then I stopped playing and eventually came back to it after like buying my whole setup and starting streaming it. And then Trey and I started streaming it around the same time. We were just like, hey, that was kind of it.
You know, I remember before I even started recording my runs or streaming at all, like before GBS, I saw your name on leaderboards. You had a sub 140 back when that was something. And I was like, huh.
Without a video, you know, imagine having a top 10 time or whatever top leaderboard time that ended up being. I think that was pretty good. I think it was like top 20.
That was probably top 20, right?
Yeah. It was top 20 of some sort. Like, we could look at a leaderboard, but who cares?
The super old Google spreadsheet leaderboards, there were probably 130, 140 times total.
Yeah, before the era of speedrun.com.
Compared to like the 1,000 we have now, which is pretty insane.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I saw you on there. I wasn't on there yet because before I recorded or streamed, I didn't ever submit my times.
Yeah, I just didn't have video. You know, I just submitted.
No video, you know?
I don't even know how I found the leaderboard. I think I like Googled Super Mario Sunshine leaderboard or some shit like that. Like literally that.
Wait, was it linked somewhere?
I don't know. Like I don't remember being a part of the community before the end of 2013, but apparently I submitted it. I do not remember.
Huh.
Anyway, that existed and I was on the leaderboard and that's pretty much it. And then like 6 months later, Trey and I started talking to one another. He was one of my first followers on Twitch. Okay.
Yeah, you kind of jumped the gun there a little bit, I'd say. Like, didn't you, you became demotivated. Unlike most people, you were demotivated by Gelato Beach Skip, right?
Oh yeah. Gelato Beach Skip sucked. I was the worst at Gelato Beach Skip. I think I tried it for an hour after it was found. I was like, oh, Gelato Beach Skip. And this was after what? 4 months of being involved in speedrunning the game, not even the community, just ignoring that the run existed. I didn't know it was such a huge deal. I was like, oh, there's a new skip. All right. I guess I'll try that. I played it for an hour, 2 hours, and went, this is too hard. I'm done. And I quit the game until like May. And then I learned, I think from a Cloaked Yoshi tutorial.
Yo, shout out to Cloaked Yoshi.
Shout out to Cloaked Yoshi. How to do GBS consistently, and I figured it out, and I got back up to my top 10 eventually. And
so Tushy is the reason we're doing this podcast right now. If you really think about it,
dude, I could have looked up a Samurai Man tutorial or something, but I don't know, but his Finnish accent at the time. His Finnish accent at the time, you know, I don't know.
I think that there were like at least 5 or 6 GBS tutorials in the first month it was out. Like, dude, they were notable.
Like even years later, Raise Fire was still making tutorials for that.
Oh, and I guess Bouncy Boy too, because Bouncy Boy was a few months after it was found.
Dude, everybody, there's like eras of trick tutorials from years after. Like Dutch J made one in 2016 or something like that.
Oh yeah, there was like a time period where Dutch J was trying to make a tutorial for like literally everything.
You were talking about making your own tutorial like series, which probably would have included.
Did I ever say that?
Yeah, well, I think you did at some point talking about tutorial series.
I probably did. I am the worst when it comes to making tutorials. I will always say, like, yo, I should make a tutorial on that. I never do.
Dude, we the podcast that we're doing currently, we've talked about doing so many fucking things. Like,
see, I feel like we've come out of the gate strong with some early history of our Sunshine playing, but like, I just want to throw out there. You know, 80% of success is showing up, right?
Yeah.
And by God, how many months were we talking about, oh, we should do a podcast?
I don't know when we started, like, thinking about it, but I have notes with very offensive things on it from, like, late 2018.
Oh, dude, I have...
like, mid-2018, maybe?
I have a particular document with a couple bullet points, as you may know. I'm not going to share them, but they were pretty hilarious.
They're really funny for not broadcasting.
Yeah, just trust us. They were hilarious, but we figured they would not be entirely suitable for a serious podcast.
Yeah, a super serious podcast.
Those ideas were made a few months ago, so...
Yeah, they're... So yeah, we just like kind of decided with the name Video Games Are Hard. And that's because we just kept saying
right.
it. Because video games are hard.
Well, okay, it was really your thing. You were like the big video games are hard guy.
Well, yeah, but then Emo like shouted me out in that one commentary.
No, Emo really is really good at shout outs. Like I did a Sith shout out. I said video games are hard. Like, that's not a shout out. First of all, you just said a quote from him.
You know, just saying something that I say all the time isn't a shout out, right? And he's just like, oh, I guess.
If I say like I have a dream, I'm shouting out Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh yeah, that's a shout out to Martin Luther King.
Shout out, easy.
Well, to be fair, that's a more popular. Anyway,
I mean, yeah, you probably get that one.
Yeah, people would be like, wait. Oh, he didn't make that quote.
when you think memorable quotes, you know, I have a dream.
Video games are
hard. Video games are hard.
Exactly. You
know? Honestly, yeah. Like, oh, that's Sid. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I just started saying video games are hard a lot. Because I don't know, like. At the top level of any game, like we've been talking about Super Mario Sunshine, even like Sunshine is the speed run that you look at and go, it's really, it's the one that everybody describes as easy to get into, but hard to master. And there's a lot of those games right. out there, but as a whole, then like if it's hard to master, then any game can be hard. So video games in general are hard.
Are hard.
You know,
in any game, that's like the title, as you were explaining, any game can be hard depending on how you approach it.
Yeah.
Or it can be easy or whatever. It's whatever you make it. But like, because we're like kind of speedrunners, we sort of just make games harder for ourselves for fun in a way.
For fun.
Like, oh, I have to beat this faster than I ever beat it before for me to be satisfied.
Like you can make the easiest Mario Maker level. And that's just a straight line, but you're just like,
oh, dude,
I'm going to long jump the entire way and save 3 frames.
Dude, the easy as shit Mario Maker levels are like the best for speedrunning.
Yeah, because they're just like, I was actually watching a stream earlier today talking about how like the speedrun, the quote speedrun levels in Mario Maker are really not speedrun levels at all. They're just kind of they're just very strict and you go through the level and you have to do exactly what they do, and it's a very strict timeline. Versus what an actual speedrunner level or speedrun level is what I made, which is just like super open. You have a lot of options and a lot of routing that you could make. You know, it might be exhausting to the. It might be exhausting to a casual player.
There's a million speedrun levels where it's the same old run through a hallway and hit red and blue switches on time.
Yeah,
there's a million of those levels, and like. That's not a speed run. That's an auto stroller with style to shout out Toy Story right there.
Yeah.
Seriously, it's like not really a speed run. You're just doing a scripted thing, jumping at the right time, whatever. But
but like true, if they were true to what speedrunning was, it would be just like, here's this, like you, it would be collect how many ever, whatever coins or whatever goal for the level itself, and then just kind of like leave it wide open. Just like do what you like.
Yeah, and I tried making a couple levels that were kind of coin routing heavy. They weren't very good, but I did make a Pac-Man level. That was kind
of
dope.
I finished one of them. I finished one of your levels. I think I did the Pac-Man one too.
I made a traditional like the Pac-Man maze where you got to get all the coins instead of dots. And it looks pretty dope. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the funnest level, but it looks cool. So.
Yeah, it looks cool. And I'm surprised it didn't get more likes than it did. Or
it should have gone. That was my chance to go viral in Mario Maker. Didn't quite happen. My PR guy said help me out, but wasn't enough.
Oh my God, this guy copied Pac-Man and put it in Mario Maker. And I was just like, dude, this is going to be the biggest shit ever. It's like 17 likes. It's like, dope.
Hey, it was more than 17, I think.
60, maybe. Something like that.
16. Yeah, that's definitely more. Yeah, I just had to fire my PR guy. Said he was the reason.
Dude, no, my PR was bang on. It just didn't work.
It didn't click with the kids. You know, they would rather play Pangas or anyone good at making levels.
Yeah, or like random Link to the Past levels. There's a lot of those.
Or like Ocarina of Time, like Deku Tree recreation.
Yeah,
levels.
Know. There's a lot of those. 1-1 with a twist.
Ooh, I've never seen a 1-1 with a twist before. That's a new idea.
I love that that level got so big.
And then there were like versions of it that were even harder.
Yeah.
Okay, but on the topic of like speedrunning or like auto scrollers with style, those levels kind of suck because isn't it just like memorizing precise locations to stand in and stuff?
Oh, for 1-1 with a twist, yes.
1-1 with a twist, yeah.
Yeah. Literally, all the streamers that I saw do it just watched a clear video and memorized where they went. And yeah, I was just like, that's the coolest thing ever.
Figure it out yourself. That sounds just torturous.
Well, yeah. Figuring it out on your by your lonesome is pretty bad. But also, that sounds like the lamest shit ever. If you have to watch a clear video.
Yeah, how is that fun?
I don't know how it's fun, but I don't know. I've watched like Grand Pooh Bear and all those players play like the Panga levels and stuff. They watch clear levels or clear videos in order to figure out what they do in a specific spot, like if they have to go back or like, because you just look at a jumbled mess on your screen and you're just like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do here or what they wanted to do. There's all these indicators. I didn't mean for most of this podcast to be Mario Maker related.
No, it's fine. I mean, I figured it. Our core topic we're trying to cover is just sort of like our history, but we can diverge depending on, you know, anything. Video games, we're talking about video games.
And they're hard.
The title of the podcast, so it's still on topic in my opinion.
Yeah. And for the record, I don't think my level is amazing.
I think your level is amazing.
I think that my level, I don't know. Because when I play Mario Maker levels and I see just like, oh, there's a red coin here and a red coin here and a red coin here, like my speedrunner senses tingle and I'm just like, how to route this faster, but then my like casual player kicks in. I'm just like, this feels exhausting, you know, because like casual players would look at a room like that and if they didn't have a speedrunner bone in them, but they wanted to go fast, they just like look at it and go like, how, you know?
I feel like if you don't enjoy routing,
yeah,
I don't know how you can really enjoy speedrunning fully, because routing is like one of the funnest parts of the game, in my opinion. Or yes, any game.
Routing in event cutscenes. That's so fun.
Speaking of like community involvement, I was never involved with the community fully until I started streaming in mid-2014. Like, I've been around the game since early 2013, watching streams and stuff and playing the game a little bit. But like, never in like Skype groups or talking to anyone really, except for I would almost always be in like Samurai Man or Stelzik's chat, as I was kind of a stream monster, not gonna lie. I was kind of a nut hugger. Then again, they were like the sunshine people. So obviously, like, how could I not be? But I remember like a long time ago, before I even started streaming, I would actually just like talk with Stelzik on Skype, not talk, like type to him. Like,
is Stelzik using a mic on a.
Yeah, I don't think he's ever voice called anyone before.
Dude, they didn't even conversate with each other. Him and Nocturne didn't even talk to each other in the bingo tournament, and they were on a team.
No, but his mic was broken. It's fine.
They didn't even talk. They typed.
Hey, they were pretty good for not using a mic, though.
That's true. I think they got one win or something.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, but yeah, before 120 was really optimized, I would do a lot of routing and stuff with Stelzik and Skype, and that was pretty fun, just figuring out stuff before we knew event cutscenes were important.
Dude, I think I'm nowadays for routing, I'm just the exact opposite. I remember having I used to be really into routing, you know, but I think Sunshine's gotten the point now that, well, I'm not really involved in 120. For anybody that doesn't know what I'm involved in, I just run 96 shines nowadays, which is a category that nobody really runs except me. And I'm second place currently when we're recording this podcast. But
by a second.
Yes.
Second by a second.
Second by a second. True. By Nanashi. But and it's like, it's not super complicated routing or anything like that. It's minimizing event cutscenes, which are like the 3-second cutscenes that are events in Delfino that you have to like cut down at the start. And then once you're done Corona, you just kind of go bang, bang, bang and finish everything else. I remember having a conversation with Oatflaker, like over Discord, just typing, and like I had to go through the math again about why doing Pianta in two trips was faster. And I was just like, I was intrigued having the conversation the first time with Shadow Mario 27, but explaining it again, I was just like, I don't like, just trust me. It's so 8 seconds faster.
Man, the reason why the current 120 route is fast is like so convoluted that all you can say is because it's faster. Like, why do you that? It's faster. Just trust me.
I just don't understand. Like, the only thing that I can get in 120 is that you do early Pinna because, like, there's going to be an event cutscene at 20 shines or when you unlock Yoshi, no matter what.
And the reason that you do Pinna to Reds early is because the event cutscenes don't begin until you get the Yoshi unlock cutscene going, which is Pinna 4. Mm-hmm. So you can save an event, or no, doing Pinna 2 Reds early doesn't remove an event cutscene, but it removes extra shrine selection menu scrolls.
It's so confusing.
There you go. Easy
routing. See, this is the conversation when it comes to like routing like that. But it's if it was routing. See, it's different with the event cutscenes and like pure math and figuring out why things save time versus this coin route is faster than this coin route because it's 6 seconds faster. You know, it's just like different routing, and some of it is interesting and some of it is just busy work.
I might be like kind of old school, but I think that even now people might agree with me that the 120 routes back in the day were just before we knew the importance of removing event cutscenes. The routes were just so much better because nowadays we're just kind of stuck with pretty much any percent with a few blue coins here and there.
Oh yeah.
And all the extra stuff at the end.
Well, that's why everybody likes 79 shines and hates on 96 shines.
Yeah. Like, 79 is short enough to where it's still, I think, faster to group stuff together.
Yeah.
Unless that's changed too. I don't really
remember. Dude, nobody cares about those categories. Maybe it is faster. I've thought about it before.
96 shines. I don't know.
I do run 96 shines, but,
not 79, but yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty similar. It is similar, but I don't... routing in Delfino shines, whatever. Anyway, that's what we do. We route.
Yep.
We speedrun.
We make video games hard for ourselves.
Yeah, that's essentially why the title is Video Games Are Hard. Because, like, literally, we're just sitting here talking about Super Mario Sunshine, and the time we saved doing shines in certain orders so we can cut down event cutscenes to save time over a 3-hour run, and you're just sitting there going like, this is a game that was released by Nintendo for 10-year-olds. Like,
yep.
So like, this game is hard because we hate ourselves, you know?
Yep, speedrunning is shit. But I mean, hey, it's like the ultimate replay value thing to do. Like, you get unlimited replay value essentially.
Dude, I've saved so much money playing Super Mario Sunshine over the past 5 years.
Like, the thing, I got my money's worth for sure.
Yeah.
Even getting two different copies, you know,
it's still worth it. Same.
And a second Wii. And I guess you borrowed your friend's Wii or whatever.
Right? I steal all my friends' Wiis.
Yeah.
They're just like, do you want my Wii? Their Wiis, so. You want my Wii Sports machine? It's like that I used to use in 2007 and 8. I'm like, yes. And they're just like, okay.
Bro, everyone had a Wii Sports machine that they're willing to give up now. It's kind of nice.
My aunt had a Wii Sports machine. And she doesn't play video games. But, like, the whole point, I don't know. I could go into my argument about mobile games versus Wii, and then Wii U is dumb. And how
we'll
Nintendo...
save it for a different time.
Yeah, like, I don't know. That seems like...
If we make another episode of this, then maybe think about it. Maybe this is it. Like, well, we finally did a recording. We can die happy now.
Yeah, we just like talk about all the conversations we've ever had. Just and like all the
literally everything. So that's it for the podcast.
All the things forever. We just keep bringing up over and over again.
Yep.
Because that's definitely something I've brought up over and over again.
It's interesting though. Like, mobile games definitely killed out the casual console gaming market for the most part.
Yeah. It's like Candy Crush comes out, or Angry Birds or whatever, and then Nintendo goes, oh, we're going to try to hit the casual market again. And then Apple's sitting there going like, why? Like, why are you trying this?
Yeah, like Pappy Jump was barely even out hardly when we hit the road.
Hit the market road.
Yeah, thank you for saving me.
You're welcome.
I mean, yeah.
But that was just the casual market. Like, Wii Sports was just... Everybody and their mom, mostly people's moms, owned Wii Sports. And then Wii
Fit.
Many moms. And then Wii Fit when it came out. And everybody was just like, oh, this is just a casual system. Like, nobody looked at the Wii and went, this is a hardcore gaming system.
Then the Wii U came out, and everyone's mom was like, "Oh, we don't need that Wii extension. We already have a Wii."
Like, and then other people were just like, "Why did it fail?" But then other people are just like, "Oh, it failed because of their advertising, or people didn't understand it was a new system, or anything like that." It's like, no,
it was a lottery. No, it was mainly the casual thing. Yeah,
I think it was the casual market. I also think that people were confused. Like, that's you can't really breeze by that point. Just like, oh, we're releasing the Wii U. What is it? Not clear. Like, that's probably a reason.
When they first announced it, you had to like really search to find what even the console looked like, because all they would show off was the gamepad ever.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to see the console though. It's like, oh, I finally found it. It looks like a regular little brick. Okay, cool.
It's like, oh, so this is, but like before that, everybody was just like, oh, this is just a controller add-on with a screen.
Yeah, they showed the gamepad so much and not the console that like many people thought it was just some addition to the Wii and didn't bother getting it.
And it showed. Dude, the fact that GameCube is considered a failure and it has 24 million sales and Wii U only got, what, 13 million?
Was it that big of a difference?
Yeah.
I thought that the Wii U was like barely less than the GameCube, but it
was
that much less.
It was like 14 million tops.
Oh my God, that is a huge failure.
I remember looking at the numbers recently. And, but yeah, nobody knew about that. But also, they were trying to tap a market that smartphones just beat into the ground with like Candy Crush and like all the Bejeweled copycat games and like all those games that came out.
Dude, the Bejeweled creators could have been loaded if they made that a little bit later.
If they made it for phones, like immediately, they could have been rolling in it.
Man. And now there's Candy Crush, which is basically just Bejeweled with candy, and they're making bank.
And they're trademarking the word candy, or they tried to. Remember that?
They've been making bank. Like, wait, I've never heard about that.
Two or 3 years ago, the makers of King, which is the developer for Candy Crush, they actually tried to trademark the word candy so that people couldn't use candy in their games. Like the word candy.
You gotta be kidding me.
And it failed. But it was pretty funny.
That's like some Fine Bros shit trying to, whatever, copyright reacts,
right?
Or whatever it was.
Were they trying to copyright reacts?
I don't, it was like, was it reactions to stuff or like the word react?
I think it was reacts.
It was some really vague thing that like, there's no way they were able to do it. And obviously there was huge backlash.
All I remember is they lost a lot of goodwill because of that. I don't remember the whole kerfuffle or anything that happened with the Fine Bros. I just remember that everybody hated them like within 2 days.
Yeah, that's definitely blown over by now, but the damage was done for sure.
Yeah. YouTubers and their
YouTube drama. Dude, YouTube drama was at its pinnacle in 2016, back when like Leafy was here and all that was around.
I never watched that.
YouTube's quite a bit different now though than it used to be. Algorithm determines everything, you know. Dude, the algorithm, you know, I'm on the podcast. You probably know me from the 80% history video. Okay. But the algorithm definitely blessed me there. I didn't understand the power of the YouTube algorithm until it sort of hit my channel with that video. Like, when I made that video, I only expected to get maybe 100K views tops, and then it would just kind of like fizzle out. But it's still going somehow to this day. You know, it still gets a couple thousand views a day somehow.
Still getting comments about Dan Salvato and his occupation.
Not as much as when it was a little more relevant, but yeah. There was
he made Doki Doki or whatever, Literature Club.
I released that video the day after Doki Doki Literature Club was made. And because of that, I didn't realize that this anime-looking-ass game was going to take off so hard, and I mentioned Dan Salvato, known for melee hacks, but little did I know.
Now he's known for Doki Doki and speedrunning Yoshi Story.
Of course. His main thing is those sweet, sweet Yoshi Story speedruns.
Dude, I love, so that's one of my favorite lines in the 120 Shine History video, where it's just
I'm really proud of that.
You just don't even acknowledge the Doki Doki Literature Club still. You're just like, okay, what other super niche things does Dan Salvato do? And it's just like, he's speedrun Yoshi Story.
My original idea was to simply be kind of blunt and be like, oh, by the way, I should have mentioned that he's known for Doki Doki, correction from the old video. But then I was like, oh, that's super lame. What if I just like make a joke of it and just double down and be like, known for speedrunning Yoshi Story.
I didn't even know he ran a speedrun. I don't know anything about that guy, but
yeah, actually, he's kind of a legend for, I think, being rejected the most amount of times for the same game from GDQ. He has submitted Yoshi Story All Melons to GDQ probably at least 8 or 9 times, and it has yet to get in. I feel kind of bad for him.
Dude.
But dude, honestly, it'll happen at some point. The meme will die, but he'll eventually get his run in. I believe in him.
I remember playing Yoshi Story as a kid. I don't think I liked that game.
It looks kind of weird.
It is so weird. It's like a pop-up book with Yoshis. I haven't played it since I was like 7, I think. But I beat it. I definitely beat it. I remember seeing
all the melons.
I remember seeing when you died, you get your choice of the color of Yoshi you can play next. Like of the field of lives that you still have, you can pick like which Yoshi you want to take out.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah. That's better than Yoshi's Island, where a certain color is restricted to certain levels.
Well, no, you're playing a specific Yoshi, you know? It's just to piss people off, Super Mario World 2
triggered
is a relay race, you know, with Yoshis, you know, and the baton is a baby Mario.
But the thing that's kind of weird is that it's like the same order of Yoshis for each world, so the same color goes to each certain level.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's like the blue Yoshi is the most important because he always does the world 8 or level 8 in each world. I think it was blue. One of the colors always does the castle, so he's the most important Yoshi.
Yeah. He is the most important Yoshi.
Although I think actually for the very final level, it might be green Yoshi. I don't remember.
So your critique is that they didn't choose the right colors for the right levels?
No, it's just like...
Why can't I pick the color?
No, not even that. It's just, you know... It's not even a complaint. You know what? Forget about it.
I don't know. Video games are hard. You know what? The All Melons run for Yoshi Story is probably hard.
I would bet it's hard, even though I have no idea what getting a melon means.
You eat them.
So you just find all the melons on a stage, and then you get them all?
And then you win. You might have to get all the fruit. No. What was it? I don't know. I think you eat like all the collectibles in a stage or all the fruit in a stage, and you have to fill up the melons around your screen. I don't know anything about Yoshi's Story. Why are we talking about Yoshi's Story?
Did you 100% or beat it all?
I beat it. I remember beating it, but I was fucking 8. You know,
I never even played it.
When you should play games like Yoshi's Story.
my first console, even though I'm like kind of old for this, my first console was the GameCube because I come from a background of super like anti to the max video game parents, like my whole family pretty much.
Yeah.
And because of that, we were like super late to getting any sort of like console or anything. Like my older brother was 11 and our first console was the GameCube. And that's part of why like my childhood is mostly GameCube stuff, like Sunshine, Tricky, Pac-Man, you know, all that stuff.
You really showed them. You spend a lot of your free time playing video games now.
Like, man, you won't let me play video games till I'm 8. I'm going to play these games the rest of my life.
I'm going to start a gaming podcast with a guy I met on the internet playing a game.
My first video game handheld or console was the Game Boy Advance, which I got probably almost a year before my GameCube. Because I didn't get the GameCube until Christmas 2003.
Yeah.
Which is also when it came with Zelda Collector's Edition, which is how I played, you know, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, all that stuff. And the Wind Waker 20-minute demo, of course.
Dude, I still don't understand why I got the Zelda with the Master Quest one. Like, just Zelda with Master Quest. Was that just pre-ordering Wind Waker?
What time did you buy it at? Oh, the pre-order?
I don't even know. I got it from pre-ordering Wind Waker.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I think it was pre-ordering Wind Waker versus buying the system. I don't even...
It was the time of year, or like the time that my parents bought the system at, I think.
Because I remember everybody talking about this collector's edition. It's just like, oh, you should go to like EB Games or GameStop or wherever you live and trying to get a used version of this because it's really good. But like every time I went to go look for them, all the employees for the certain stores that I was going to had already stolen the ones that were sold back, because you could sell them back. And a lot of people were, for some reason, selling them back. And then just all the employees were just like, yeah, okay, this is a really good, like, this is a really good collector's edition. I'm going to steal it. Like, I'm going to pay the 20 bucks that's required to steal it, and I'm going to steal it. So there was never one on the shelf.
It was really good, but Majora's Mask was pretty prone to crashing from my experience.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I think it was pretty solid. I mean, Zelda 1, Zelda 2, I didn't know what I was doing in those games most of the time, but, you know, they were there, so...
Dude, I've been playing video games since I was 3.
Yeah, I think you probably have a bigger background in gaming than I do, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, growing up.
Well, I used to play NES, like, Super Mario Brothers when I was a kid. I think my first game that I beat was, like, Super Mario 64 when I was 4. Like I owned the 64 and the NES, and I went over to my cousin's house to play SNES sometimes. I have a story, like... My dad used to be apparently a really good Asteroids player and Space Invaders player at like arcades. At some point he just like stopped playing. But I remember like he still talks about it to this day. I think he talked about it like last month. He every now and then references Space Invaders to the point where it's just like, I remember getting to levels where it's just like the aliens were like inside of my character. Like, they were so far down the screen that I had to, like, I can't even think of how to get out of it still. And he constantly talks about that stuff and how good he was at Asteroids and stuff. But most notable story that any of my family has told me is that my mother, while I was napping when I was 3, after, like, 3 weeks of preparation, beat Battletoads.
I've never played Battletoads. I believe her. But I don't believe it. I don't know your mom.
I believe her.
I hear that game is tough as nails.
It is really tough. But apparently she put like 3 weeks into it. I've asked her since talking to you about it. And she said, I swear I beat it. Like she wouldn't be able to beat it now. She's like decent. She used to play Mario Kart with me when I was a kid. Like she knows how to play video games, but she's not great by any standard. But she beat Battletoads when I was 3 while I was taking a nap. And I love that story, and I will tell it until my dying breath, and I think that's the greatest thing ever. But anyway, I've been playing games since, like, that era, and I used to play, like, I played Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, and I used to be a Nintendo guy, and then around the time of Rock Band and Rock Band 2, eventually I bit the bullet and got a different system, because playing Rock Band or Guitar Hero or any of those games on the Wii sucked balls. So...
I mean, it was the same... quality of game, you just couldn't really download extra songs or anything.
Yeah, it wasn't HD too.
Kind of sucks.
It was just like, hey, there's an HD system out there. I'm gonna go get that.
Yeah. Also, so, wasn't HD. Yeah, you're right.
So I wanted to play a Rock Band in HD. So I bought.
I only ever owned Guitar Hero 3 on Wii, and then one of my friends would get like all the games, so we would just like go to his house to play the other ones.
Dude, I was a Rock Band nut. I was expert on drums. I can play guitar expert, except for like a few songs. Expert drums, every single song.
I suck balls. I only ever played drums like 3 different times in my life. I suck dick.
Dude, I loved it. I still have my Ion drum kit, like that cost, I don't even know, $200. Like it's still up in my bedroom.
But you're one of those guys.
Yeah, I bought the shit. And I
remember on like on old YouTube. When like the initial super hype Guitar Hero wave, when everyone was playing it, you would see those YouTubers with like their drum FCs on YouTube, like with the super nice drum set and all that.
Yep.
So dope.
I every now and then we still play it. My, some of my batteries got corroded, so I have to like go through all that stuff and I had to clean it all, but I think it all still works because it's been a decade since we've put all the batteries in. So. I just didn't realize to take them all out.
I know that friend of mine had like, I think it was like a relatively cheap drum set. And at some point the cymbals just like stopped working, which is cool.
Dude, so. the cymbals sucked. The cymbals all suck.
Mm-hmm. That seemed like a pretty common theme.
Like I bought the Rock Band, the Harmonix made drum kit with the cymbals. They did like double inputs all the time.
Ooh.
Like that was a huge problem with all of the Harmonix cymbals that like if you hit them it double tapped and like you can't have that. So I remember sending one of them back and they sent me one and it still didn't work, but whatever. And I finagled a way to make it all work. And then I eventually got my Ion drum kit, which still had double tap issues, but like if you hit it in a certain spot, it worked. I don't know. It ended up working out fine. I think my drum kit's perfectly fine right now, but
you'd get booed off the stage for sure if your cymbals were double tapping in real life.
The fuck?
Yo, his cymbal double tapped.
Yo, this guy double taps.
get him off the stage. But yeah, you're talking about like your roots in video games. You were like super young, always grew up with them kind of somewhat.
Yep.
But me, like the first actual game I played was Super Mario All-Stars because one of my relatives had it. And I think I played it when I was like 4 or 5. And I was obviously garbage because I was a little kid, but you know, it was a lot of fun for me. The first game I actually owned was Super Mario Advance on the Game Boy Advance, which is basically just Mario Bros. 2 on the GBA.
Yep.
I played the hell out of it. I remember we thought that like the end of World 1 would be like the whole game.
Dude, I thought the same thing with like Ocarina of Time, and I got to the horses. Yeah. I'm just like, it's the end game now, right? Like I literally got to Lawn Lawn Ranch and I was just like, the game's over, right?
I have a very fond memory of the first time that my brother and I got to World 2.
Yeah.
We were like sort of camping out at my dad's office for some reason. Oh yeah, because there was like a huge power outage and like everyone's power was out for like a day or two straight or something. I don't even know how it happened.
Was it 2003?
But like because of that, we actually like spent some time just like chilling in my dad's office. Because I think they had like some, I don't know if they had power or like they had like some generator thing with like a temporary battery going.
A backup generator sounds right.
Yeah. And we were playing the game while just like chilling at my dad's office. And we finally managed to get to World 2. And we see like, it's the desert level. We see the pyramids. We're like, what? World 2? There's more? Like, what the fuck? And yo, that was a hype moment in my video game career, let me tell you.
Dude, I was so disappointed when there was more to Ocarina of Time than Lon Lon Ranch. Like I got out of Kakariko Village or Kakariko Forest or Kakariko Village. Kokiri Forest with
Kakariko
yeah, Forest. I got out of Kakariko Forest.
Kakariko Ranch.
After beating Dampe in a fight.
The fight.
Yeah, we just fought.
A fight to the death.
He gave me a hook shot. I killed him. And then later I went and got a heart piece.
Did you get a 46 or whatever the good 44?
I got a 44. What is it? I hessed the whole way there and I screwed up his AI and he turned around the other way.
Hess to impress. Speaking of that, I guess one of the main people, you know, I mentioned this to you pretty recently, but what's up?
Not on the podcast.
Oh, of course not. That's why I'm mentioning it now. But like one of maybe like the 5 or 6 things that inspired me to start running, one of the main ones was my brother. Like for some reason, my brother has like this knack for unintentionally getting me onto things that like heavily affect the rest of my life, such as speedrunning. And he initially showed me, this was like, I don't know, like mid 2012 or something. He showed me a Reddit post of ZFG's 2145 any% Ocarina time. And that was like right after the wrong warp was found or whatever that we take for granted nowadays. That was around like when it was just found. And I saw that. And obviously I had like no clue how the wrong warp worked. I was like, what the fuck? How is this real? Is he hacking? What the hell?
I still don't know how it works.
Yeah, to be fair, I still don't understand it. I don't play that game though. Or I don't run that game. But yeah, that really, not just that, but like in the recommended to that video, I saw VODs of AGDQ 2012 stuff. The first one that I watched was Runner Guy's Majora's Mask Run. And I just was just glued to my screen. I watched the entire thing start to finish, super hooked on it. And then right after I watched Cosmo, formerly Cosmos, now Narcissa Wright, his Ocarina of Time MST run from that same event. Just watched both of those back to back for 4 hours. Time went by just like that. And I was hooked. I thought it was so cool.
So did Runner Guy's Majora's Mask Run have debug menu in it?
Yeah, I think that was around when it was first discovered.
Yeah, on the Wii U with the delay.
Song of Soaring 64 times. I was like, oh man, this is the dopest shit ever.
this is the shit.
This is what legends are made.
No, so legends are made. The fact that's actually kind of a funny thing to say. I can't imagine being inspired by a debug menu speedrun.
Man, it's getting to that point, isn't it? Where like any percent, I forget whose theory it was, but like every game at some point, the any percent, like no restrictions category, given enough time, it's going to become like pretty a degenerate category, you know? Like it can only improve. Eventually you're going to find stuff that just like totally breaks the game and makes it like, it's cool at first, but it's ultimately less interesting than like the old route used to be.
Yeah.
And Sunshine hasn't reached that point yet, but as soon as some major breakthrough is found, which I don't know what the fuck that would be.
I have no idea.
Like I'm keeping an open mind. I feel like it's very possible that sometime in the next 5 years, something that like we somehow missed, but is actually super easy to do, will just totally break the game. But I have no idea what it'll be.
Dude, I'm counting our blessings. The fact that even so far in, like, I've been playing Super Mario Sunshine for 5 years, speedrunning it. And even after so many years, there are still people joining the SMS Discord and saying something along the lines of, oh, I just watched Trey's any percent world record history, or the 120 shines, or I was watching people on Twitch or something like that, and I wanted to start running the game. Like, things around, or hold on a sec.
No, I'm loving this praise. Please go on. Oh, he's muted. I think what Sid was getting at was,
yeah,
I'm going to go off on a hunch that people are still inspired to find stuff in the game, like that breaks the game, or have ideas to find stuff.
Well, no, they're just like inspired to play the game. You know, they're just joining the community still, and they're like Zippo is one of those people that he's tweeting out shit, talking about like, oh, I'm gonna find Noki 3 skip, and I'm like, you do pal.
Yeah, dude, I had that too. I think at some point we all had that where it's like, I'm gonna be the one to find this crazy thing. Everyone's gonna love me.
Like,
and actually with me, I wanted to find Gelato Beach Skip. There were a couple different days where I just threw my head into that glass cylinder trying to get in there, man. And I just couldn't do it. And then Toval had to show up and do it for us.
Toval's a nut.
I love Toval, the non-SMS actually spider runner who had to find the biggest skip for us. There you go.
And then he found a smaller skip that I'm very interested in, which is Lily Pad Early.
Oh, yeah. Now there's like a number of methods for Lily Pad Early.
People are nuts, man. There's so much stuff in that game, and nothing like outright breaks it. Why I was saying counting our blessings. Like, in addition to that, like, people still watching the game and being interested and still running it and stuff, and not being deterred by file select versus race file or any of that garbage, whatever.
I know, that's probably like 1% of people.
Yeah.
There's like that one guy who's like, I would run it, but you know, that intro, bro.
That intro, bro. The punctations of the world that everybody keeps holding on to. Anyway,
all the punctations of the world.
We'll go into that on a later date. But
we'll cover that later.
But like everything that's added to the game, like nothing outright breaks it. All the tech for Rocket and all the like spin sliding was found recently. Also called Doki Slide or Beyblading, like that was found recently. Nothing breaks the game. Like they're just mechanics that are added to the game. That it's like Melee. I don't want to trigger that old meme again, but it is like Melee, where it doesn't outright break the game and it adds stuff except for wobbling.
What you're saying is SMS is the Melee of Mario speedrunning.
No. No.
No, but like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I think it's funny, but also partially true, but also like partially not true. Whenever I see people be like, yo, man, Sunshine is so broken. Like, it's only fun because of its glitches. And it's like, first of all, it has its fair share of, you know, clips and weird things you can do.
Yeah.
But nothing like super breaks the game if you think about it. You know, the biggest thing is Gelato Beach Skip. And then, I don't know, EYG. But beyond that, there's no like major game breaking thing. You just kind of have to do movement for the most part.
Like, you can do Pianta Early because of Yoshi Skip. You can skip a cutscene with Honey Skip. Like, EYG is so interesting and it only saves a minute. Like,
yeah.
Like, just like if you watch. If you find somebody to describe EYG to you and just like think about how and why it should work. You're just sitting there going like, why is this like, that's the coolest shit ever. It's like one of the most interesting skips in all of speedrunning. And we don't even know why it works. Really.
It still blows my mind to this day. It's never going to not amaze me that the whole thing even works. There's like so many little things that if one little thing was different or one thing mechanic wise didn't work this way, it just wouldn't work at all. So it's pretty nuts.
Like there's this invisible wall that you can't walk through, but you get stuck in if you jump into it, but you can fall out of it.
But you can like be over a Yoshi platform and go through it if you're over it. Yeah. But also it'll barely reach this Yoshi to go around, which just so happens to have loading zone, which you got to have orange Yoshi for. So you eat an orange fruit when you go over there and it's just, and purple platforms go horizontally.
And all of these platforms that Yoshi can make are only made for this Rico level that we don't even use him for. Like
it's insane.
It's honestly so dumb.
EYG is the coolest trick in any Mario game. Changed my mind.
It's actually crazy how great that trick is. And not a lot of people talk about it, like how great it is, but like I was around when it was found and I was part of the group that actually found it. And
oh, you mean those fucking Tray Buddies?
The Tray Buddies.
Found it? Yeah, we don't talk about those guys.
The good people. Well, please.
We'll talk about please Tray Buddies next time, you know? But yeah, the whole discovery process, it's funny. Like, a year before that even happened, I remember we were like in a Skype call, you know, back when Skype was relevant. Mm-hmm. We were just messing around with that sort of area where you clip behind the doors in Penna, and we were seeing what you could do back there. But it took a few more months to really, you know, begin theorizing ever since Clayton told you to, or no, you told Clayton to test if loading zone was there.
Yeah.
When he found it was there, like the theory crafting begun right there. Like,
well, isn't that like how the 80% world record history goes? Like Dan Salvato, like that's how we talk about Dan Salvato, where he made the loading zone, or not the loading zone, the save state, so you can like save a certain area and then
Position codes. Yeah,
yeah, position codes. And Clayton had those, and Clayton was the only one in our group to have them. And I was like, "Hey, Clayton, you should go test this. Like, you should see if the loading zone for the merry-go-round is there, even if we're outside of the park." And then Clayton was just like, "Oh, okay," and he did it, and it was there. And I was like, "Oh, you guys have fun."
I wonder if we can get there somehow. Okay.
I was so done with Sunshine at that point. Like, I had just gotten 119. I was so done playing this video game that, and this was in 2015. It's 4 years later.
Yeah. Was that around the time when you were top seven at your peak in 80%?
I was.
You had a better time than me at one point. Mm-hmm. And was that when you started getting burnt out for a bit?
Oh, I took a like 3 month break or something. Mm-hmm. And then I started playing 96 Shines mostly, like if I was playing it at all.
Right.
But yeah, that's when we,
yeah, your 96 Shine grind began rather early.
Yeah. But it wasn't like
a long break and then came back even stronger after the break.
Oh yeah. Well, the whole thing about 96 Shines, I started running 96 Shines, which is, for anybody that doesn't know about Super Mario Sunshine, 96 Shines is a, like all the any percent levels, but so it's 100% without the blue coins.
Basically, so, yeah, it's every physical shine you can get in the game that doesn't involve blue coins.
So that's what I play. That's the category that I play that not a lot of people do. But
it's not taken nearly as seriously as any percent or 120, but it is a main category and it's like fairly respected. So
it's a fun category. It's definitely the one. It's definitely the one that I like playing the most. It's like Rasmus was asking me earlier, or somebody was asking me earlier when I was streaming. It's like, so are you going to play any other categories, or do you want to play any other categories? I'm like, I have no motivation to play any category other than 96 Shines. Yeah, but
that's the most important thing. You have to play, just in general, the number one rule with speedrunning is just play what you enjoy. Trust me.
Because you'll just hate the amount of time that you put into anything else. You're just
if you force yourself, like forcing yourself to play a category that you're not really enjoying, but you just really want to get this time. I mean, if you're super motivated, sure. But if you're not having any fun doing it, like, what's the point? You know,
you'll hate it so fast.
And even when you get the time, you're not going to be like maybe as satisfied. You'll just be like, oh, finally, I can move on now. Jeez,
I hate this category. This category sucks.
Speedrunning is garbage. Moving on.
Speedrunning is garbage.
Name drop.
Name drop.
But yeah.
But yeah, I started 96 Shines in 2015. But like, I wasn't really, I was just kind of like messing with it. And then I think when I started really getting hardcore into 96 Shines was like late 2017, early 2018. And then I started getting good. And then this year I was just like, I'm going to do a run. Like early this year, I was run every single day until I get world record. Because the beginning of this year, my motivation was Psy.
Psy?
Psy. P-S-Y.
Oh.
the hacker for Super Mario Sunshine. One of the practice code guys.
Oh, I thought you were like, my motivation was Psy. Oh, Psy motivated you. Okay.
Yeah, Psy motivated me over Twitter.
I thought that was like an adjective you're using or something.
Psychonauter. I was trying to think of his name. Like, I couldn't think of his name. I didn't want to say his name wrong. His name's Psychonauter. And because I haven't seen him in chat for a while, so I don't know his, like, I know
him. I think he's pretty busy nowadays.
Yeah.
He hung out with Milk recently. Shout out to Milk.
But he's, like, I remember him complaining that I didn't stream enough, like, late last year. And I was like, you know what? And it was, like, literally the cusp of the new year. And I said, okay, I'm going to stream every single day. I'm going to do a run of Super Mario Sunshine 96 Shines every single day. And my motivation is going to be, I will play until I get 96 Shines world record. If I don't get 96 Shines world record by March, I will switch to JP, which is the version of Super Mario Sunshine that's 40 seconds faster. And
well, okay, it's 40 seconds faster for that category. Yes. For any percent, it's not that much, but yeah.
It's like 12, right? Wait, no, it's
roughly 12 ish.
Yeah, it's comparable with PAL in any percent. But yeah, for 496 Shines and 120, it's 40 seconds. I say 40, people say more, whatever. Doesn't matter.
No one really knows.
Nobody knows. There's time saves for NTSCU, but it definitely saves time over that. Anyway, my motivation was world record or Switch versions. And I ended up getting world record in a month and then kept going. And I did a run every single day in January, at the very least. I went a month and a half, a run every single day. And then I got burnt out. Obviously, because you can't, that's so much sunshine. Like that's 3 hours a day, but every day plus practice. So at minimum. Yeah.
People see like how much you stream. People get burnt out faster than you would probably think if you're just like a viewer, because the amount of time you see someone streaming, unless they suck and they never practice. Expect that at least double the amount of time they're streaming they're playing, because you have to practice offline to get good, honestly.
So yeah, so I got burnt out, and then Ninashi took it back, whatever. And
you weren't pissed.
Like I what was really funny is during the first month and a half, Shadow Mar, like I got people motivated to play 96 Shines because I was closing in on the world record, and people were just like, or I like to think that Shadow Mario 27 was looking at me getting close to world record and being like, this motherfucker, like Sid?
Oh, dude, Shadow Mario used to be like one of the biggest speed bullies until Ninashi came around.
Like,
oh,
Sided God. Williams getting 96 Shines world record? No way. This guy's trash. So he tried to get world record. I think he did get world record. Ninashi got like a 55, and then Shadow Mario got like a 35.15 or 35.18 or something. And then I cut him by a little bit. And I was just like, I got the world record. Pog. Ninashi got it back. But
didn't Ninashi just like destroy at some point and kind of demotivate you, but then you came back anyway? Maybe that was before that even happened.
I was just super burnt out. Like he got it literally 2 days or one day after I got the record, and I was like, all right. And then I started trying to get it back, and I was like, you know what, I'm fucking tired, I'm done playing this game. But I still tried to do my daily thing, but I was taking more breaks. And I don't know, mid-April, I started coming back, and I got the world record back eventually in June-ish, like May, June. I had it for a week. Ninashi took it back, and this is where it stands now.
By but 1 second, and just kind of like left it there.
Yeah, he got it. He got it by 1 second. And
on the superior version, so if you really think about it, Sid has the best time.
If you really think about it.
If you convert over version differences.
Yeah, if you convert. If I did race file runs, I would have gotten the world record.
Yeah, Honestly, that intro was holding you back, man.
Honestly, sorry. Come on. What's the community thinking? All right. I don't want to joke about race file or anything right now.
It's just too tempting. Too tempting, man.
But
yeah.
That's where I it guess, stands.
Should we bring it back to... we were like sort of starting to cover how we became friends on the internet a little bit.
I don't know. We started messaging each other. I don't know.
Yeah.
eHarmony really, came around.
Yeah, you know, we got on eHarmony. We met each other through that, you know, yeah. And it went from there. No, but
I don't know. We just started, like, both started streaming. You found me first and messaged
We were each playing the game offline for a few months. I think me a little bit longer than you beforehand.
Definitely.
Definitely long. Yeah, I started, like, early 2013.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, when we started streaming, we both started streaming, like, mid-2014.
May.
And at some point, I forget if you asked me or I asked you to do a race. I don't even remember.
I don't know who asked. I think it might have been you asking me.
Maybe.
But you had a way better time. Like for the era, I think I had a 120, like a high 124 or something, and you had a 122.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Something like that. And I
can't remember. Yeah, I honestly can't remember who initiated it.
No.
But like, I think you were just like in my chat one time, maybe. And maybe we would just like sort of like we're like, oh, we should race sometime. Yeah. Okay. Totally.
Sure. And then we ended up doing it and like having Trey has it recorded somewhere or it highlighted.
Oh, no. I think you have the highlight because it was actually
PB. Oh, it was a PB. Yeah.
And you highlighted the PB. So actually, Sid and I's very first race is still on the internet available to watch.
And we had it. That was our first like conversation.
Or no, what I should say is the audio recording at least, because my part wasn't like my gameplay wasn't recorded, but yeah. Or it was recorded, but it wasn't like
whatever. It was a 123. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Who cares? But I remember that race. I thought going into it like, yo, this guy's a hack. I can destroy him. But
this guy's a Sid, hack.
Yeah. That was a shout out to you, by the way. But like that whole race, you were like a little bit ahead of me, and I was kind of getting scared. I was like, oh man, I don't want to lose this guy.
Yeah.
And it came down to Corona. You were like ahead of me the whole way.
Yeah.
And then in Corona, I pull off what we used to call paper boat, which is just fast boat.
Yeah. I think I hit the boat and had to do boatless.
Yeah. And then I sped ahead on my boat and then I barely won the race. But
yeah.
Our very first race was one of our best races ever. And
but that was also our like first conversation.
Yeah. That was the first time we were. Like in a one-on-one Skype call, you know, just talking about random
like
shit.
we just started talking about shit, and now five
and
years later,
Sid had the exact same mic he still does right now.
Oh yeah, I have a rock. For anybody who doesn't know, I use a Rock Band mic. Talking about Rock Band again.
That is a trusty mic because it is lasting the test of time. Let me tell you,
it's a good mic.
And from what I've heard, it was much better than the mic I used to use, which was my laptop mic. Let me tell you, mic was garbage.
But yeah, five years ago, we just did like one race. I totally forgot about that race. When you started talking about it, I was just like, what is he talking? Oh yeah, we did a race.
I mean, I feel like it's pretty crucial to how we really became friends was that race.
Yeah.
And then we had so much fun doing it. And then that sort of snowballed into, over time, we sort of like started racing a lot of people or like certain people pretty often who were pretty high level, which ultimately formed what we call the good people, which is sort of a wishy-washy group of people now, but we used to be like super close-knit.
Yeah. recently referred to as the Trey Buddies, which is where that joke comes from.
Yeah, just a bunch of Trey Buddy people who are not actually good. They're just Trey Buddies. So
even though all of them have world records formerly, except for
that's not relevant. They're irrelevant.
It's just like,
don't worry about it.
It's just a really funny. Like at first, I was kind of offended by that term. It's just like, oh, we're just Trey Buddies, and then I was just like. What? Like that's preposterous. That's hilarious.
That's preposterous.
Yeah. It was just a really funny thing.
Yeah, we're talking like Cephalon, Quaniza, Huffer Your Puff.
If you know anything about Super Mario Sunshine speedrunning, like if you watch the 80% world record history, Cephalon prominently like set there.
Cephalon, like, dude, people know hardly anyone remembers. Like Prime Cephalon was insane at the game. Like
yeah.
He clearly had more movement skill than like pretty much anyone else when he was like really grinding.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sort of just got like burnt out at some point, like pretty shortly after EYG and stuff. His main motivation, I guess, was the fact that he could have gotten to 117 before EYG, but he choked it on Shadow Mario and Noki.
Even watching that part of the world record history, even though like I'm still buddies with Calf and the world record's gotten lower and he's still world record afterwards, like still seeing that part of the video of the world record history of him failing the 117 before the trick happened, it's just like, that's so sad. That's still so sad.
It's depressing, but at the same time, well, it's not relevant really anymore now, but I made a call back then. I was like,
oh yeah,
117 is not going to happen until a major skip is found.
God, you suck.
Technically, I was right. I was right, everyone. Let it be known.
I remember right, you 100%. Rubbing it in our faces like the day after we found early Yoshi around.
Yep.
And it's just like, yeah, I knew that 117 wouldn't be possible without a new trick.
117 was impossible until that skip was found. I knew it. Let the times tell all the facts here. You know?
Dude, I was even mad at you. I don't remember if Calf was mad at you. He probably was mad at you, but I remember you just like
such a dick for saying that. But it's
you just kept mentioning it, just like yeah, I was right.
Well, okay, I had to keep doing it because for some reason there were people in my chat always quoting it, like oh, like sort of like mockingly. But then I had to be like, well, I was right. Like you can mock me all you want. I was right. Fuck you.
It was theoretically possible, but nothing ever happened until the early Yoshigarone was found.
Like, sure, it could have happened, but it didn't. So, suck it.
Calf's a choker. Calf's a choke artist.
Yeah, I think Calf had some beef with me about that. I don't really remember, but it's just funny to think about. And, yeah, honestly, even though, like...
I was right. You know, I was right.
Yeah, I was right. Like, even though people... Like, at one point, I think I'm the only person who ever had, like... all four main category records at the same time, as far as I know.
Yes.
Which is an achievement that, like, it's pretty sweet that happened, but it sounds cooler than it actually is because, like, two of those categories were not optimized whatsoever.
for context, my 96 Shine PB and my former, like, my PB that is currently, or that was formerly the world record in 96 Shines, is 9 minutes better than what Trey's world record was.
Well, to be fair, 120 got pushed even further, but
oh yeah. What was your world record when you had 4 out of 4 in 120?
Oh god, I think it was 313.
Oh Jesus.
So yeah, pretty unoptimized.
Jesus.
And but yeah, I think what I'm getting at is that like even though like obviously I was a pretty high level player, I was never like the best, I would say. At any point, like there were definitely more talented runners, like at least one or two, even like in my prime, but like they just weren't playing as much maybe, or I don't know. What I'm getting at is that any percent wise, I'd say that like my best run at the time, or my best any percent run for the time was my 118.22, because that was a world record I got before EYG was found. And then my two other any percent records I ever had were after the skip was found. So they were like almost kind of free. You know, it was like, oh, we have this new minute time save potentially. So
using high bill setup.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, it took a little bit of skill because the bill setups were just bullshit. Like they were all RNG. And well, like,
this is back when early Yoshigaround was done only in Pinna 2 before Zelpiku found the stew setup and stuff like that. For anybody that knows Sunshine speedrunning.
Mm hmm. And if you're watching this, you probably have seen my history video.
Yeah.
Some of you. But if you haven't, the original early Yoshigaround setup was not with the stews that are like really consistent. It was with the bullet bills. And
sucks.
You have to get a purple bill to set it up. And purple bills may just never spawn. You know, you may go 10 cycles with no purple bill at all.
I still remember watching Calf like right after EYG was found, just jumping with Yoshi and sticking to the wall and being like, this fucking blows.
Dude, if that was still the way that you do the skip, I think any percent would be just dead as we know it. It's
God.
So bad.
God, I
like it was cool at the time because it was fresh, but that skip was fucking terrible.
It was.
You would just lose your run because a purple wouldn't show up. And you're like, well, okay.
Do you know how we were so close to having JP bad for any percent? So close.
Right, because for one day we thought that it wasn't possible on JP because you couldn't do fruit storage.
And Raise Fire bought Pal. Lickety split.
Like, I'm going to get ahead of the curve, get Pal, which is the best version now, clearly. And then, you know, Jared's Giants just is like, oh, you can eat it through the door. It's like, oh.
Like, okay. Oh, well, I guess I shouldn't have ordered Pal.
Still best. Okay. Well, I have PAL now, so that's cool.
Yeah, I guess that's cool. It's still good for any percent now, like after everything settled.
You could argue that PAL is just as good now, if not better, because it's easier on some stuff.
Yeah.
And like, well, it's better. I think it's as good if you do one stew setup, which is like, so like the regular UYG setup uses two stews. There's a harder variation with one stew that's a little bit different, but it's quite a bit harder. And it especially saves time in PAL with root storage. Mm-hmm. So.
What were we talking about when we started talking about EYG?
We were harping on about how, like, you know, Trey Buddies used to be good. Now they're irrelevant.
Yeah, they all suck.
Et cetera, et cetera. You know.
Quan's announced his retirement. Ice Windowsill is playing Vanilla WoW somewhere.
Oh, we all know that announcing your retirement means you're always going to retire, right?
Yeah. That's why I've never announced my retirement. Because I'm just like, I'm always around, but I might not be active. I'm just kind of like there.
Okay, I think there's two things I announced retirement for. It was Tupac, which is still going strong.
Yep.
In retirement.
Retirement.
And 120 Shines PB grinding, which is also going strong. I've done a few 120 Shines things for like marathons or relays.
Yeah.
But as far as like a new personal best, I am pretty much done entirely. Like I got the sub 3. What else can I really prove? You know, it's like.
Yeah, you were the first.
That, like getting record again now. With the crazy competition with like Nanashi, Guy, Paper, all those people, it would be utterly ridiculous to even keep up with them.
Like I love that it's just like you had a barrier of a year. You got sub three, you had a year, and nobody got it. Nanashi got it on the anniversary of sub three and beat you by, what, 8 seconds? And you're just like, I can sit here and be like, good job. And not need to go back.
It took a year exactly to get beaten.
Like I can't do that because a week later Nanashi got a world record on me in 96 shines by a second. But like if I got the world record in 96 shines and had it for a year and then somebody beat it, I'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm fine. I don't need that.
But yeah, like the immediate like stream viewer question is like, oh man, this guy bopped your ass. You gonna beat him back? It's like, like. Okay, actually, I finally tallied it up. Apparently, I've had 16 different 120 records through my speedrunning career. And I don't know, just getting more of them, especially with how it's way more difficult now. And also, I have a full-time job. And dude, it's like, it's not realistic.
The fact that, like, even after all of these years, there's, like, Guy's been playing for, what, just over a year now? A year, 3 months?
I think. Almost 2 years, but like, yeah, not very long.
Yeah, I thought he started last June, but it might have been like, I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking a different person.
A little earlier last year, yeah.
But yeah, like Guy coming out of the woodwork, like he was at a 309 at the beginning of the draft, which was June, July.
Was it 309 or 307?
One of those in 120 shines, and then but he had a really good any percent. And usually you go like he's an any percent scrub. You know, like he's just a guy that plays any percent, not specifically for Guy, but just anybody. It's like, oh, he has a good any percent time, but what does that really mean? You know, like in reference to the longer categories.
You know, or Pachinko or
yeah.
You know.
There's so many more levels. Like that's why I like 96 shines, because it's just like there's not a lot of competition there. Anyway, but Guy plays 120 for what, 2.5 months and gets now he's at a 259. 15, 14.
Guy is a freaking prodigy, dude. Like, I've never seen anyone improve. Well, okay, I've seen improvement that fast, but not at that level. Like, usually you reach a threshold where you sort of like plateau and like get burnt out and can't improve as much. Guy does not plateau. He just keeps on pushing, dude. He's insane.
Nuts. And then, like, I remember paper grinding for 120 like a month and a half ago being like, I'm scared of Guy. And I was just like, I don't really get that. Like he has a 304 or something like that, whatever. And it's just like 6 minutes and it's all gone. Paper's third place.
I've seen the potential in Guy, like not super early, but like relatively early. And I'm still shocked how far it's gotten him. Like it's crazy.
like Nanashi's been dominant for 2 years now. And
at least,
like being the speed bully that he is and taking all the category world records forever, except for any percent. He has not gotten any percent world record at all. Nindide and Ouija have that unlock.
Dude, it's the biggest choke in history. I whenever I think of that Bowser fight, I get depressed instantly. Like
I don't. Fuck yeah.
Let's go. It's just like I empathize with them, and it's like, dude, I don't know. I couldn't sleep at night if that happened. Like
he's still grinding it.
Is he?
I think so. Isn't he playing?
I never know what he's playing. I don't go on Nico at all.
I think he's playing. See,
I think I just go on Twitter. He has like some splits on there. I'm like, oh, he PB'd. He's playing that category. Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome.
But yeah, Nanashi's been dominant for 2 years, about 2 years now. Guys getting up there. Like, Ouija playing SM64 right now, but got recently the Any% world record. Like, there's a lot of, like, and they're not, I guess Nanashi's an old name, but like an old name turned really good.
Mm-hmm.
And because I never knew Nanashi's name until 2.5 years ago when he started getting really, really good.
Yeah, I don't even know when he started. I think it was probably 2015, 2016.
Oh.
I don't remember.
So I thought he was like us tier old.
Maybe.
Or like older.
Has he been around that long?
I thought somebody was talking about it like that. But anyway, like he's an older runner, but got really good recently. And like guys really new, and Ouija is young. I guess, like, I don't know if he's like super new, but
well, guy's even younger than Ouija, I think.
Dude, like all these new people just coming into the game, and you're just like, it still has a lot to happen with it. Like they're not coming in and just hitting a wall and stopping, except for they were with Any% with Didé, but then Ouija blew by that a little bit.
Dude, I sometimes have the thought, like, man, once these times get so good, like even, you know, when Any% was reaching like 115 level, it's like, if I was starting out, like how the heck would I ever wrap my mind around getting anywhere near that good? But these new players, man, they really show up and like they know how to improve and they put in the work, and it's really inspiring.
And they have a healthy mindset about it. They're not like,
yeah,
going for only world record. They're going for, oh, I'm getting 118. I'm getting 117. Going to go for 116. Like, they don't have these unbelievable goals of, I'm going to get world record or I suck. They go, I'm going to get a 115. And then they go, like, I can get a 114. I'm going to get a 114. Like, they're just trying to, they just have goals and they're knocking them down as they go. And they're like, maybe I'll go for world record now.
Dude, mentality is everything. If you have a healthy mindset, you can go far with that.
It's great.
Which is weird, because sometimes I swear Nindide's mindset was kind of shitty. But somehow
he had a horrible mindset.
Nindide had a horrible mindset, but he just like, he brute forced these ridiculous strats and just kept on grinding for like hours a day, and it worked out.
Dude, so we should put in the podcast the clip of me saying like the clip.
Oh, dude. Oh, actually, by the way, and I think that we should actually like sort of wrap this up soon, because it's been almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Little shout out, little plug. I'm working on a little thing with, well, actually, should I say it? I'm making a video with someone who makes other speedrun content stuff. I guess it's Easyscape. And actually, we may or may not include a bit of history having to do with said clip in that video. So look out for that one.
That clip is so good. Like, it. I guess we can like.
And if you don't know the clip we're talking about, should we explain it?
Well, I guess maybe we could throw it in. But if we don't,
you know, if they're still listening to this point, if you're still listening, by the way, I love you.
There's an old clip of like when Nindide was bad, like when Nindide was still bad, but going for really hardcore strats. He was like Reed is now.
He was the typical like. Well, I don't know how typical it was, but you would see it sometimes where. Like, clearly, this person who has, like, this time shouldn't bother with these strats, because you're just killing runs for no reason. But, like, he would do that and just lose runs over and over again to the same thing. It's like, dude, you could go for such safe stuff and PB for free. Why do you do this? But then, somehow, he just built consistency from that.
But there's a clip of, what were we talking about? I said it.
The reason that it was even a clip was because it was just in one of my 120 PBs. And I was, you know, when I was looking through footage for my 120 history video, I just came across the audio clip and it was gold. And like, it was like a good people call with like Clayton, Calf, Quan, you, me, maybe Kenny or someone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we were just like sort of shooting the shit and being like, now that EYG was found, this was like when EYG was found.
Oh yeah. It's like now anybody can get the record.
Yeah, and we were like, you know, who thinks they're gonna get record now? UIG's found, you know, it's kind of the doors open a bit. And then Clayton's just like, did it.
Oh, and then I was just like, yeah, but like, what was it? Something about requiring like, talent?
Yeah, like, did it, or what was it? Like, I can't, I feel like I should know this.
Dude, I wish off the top of my head I could remember what
wasn't
I said.
Was it like 117 requires talent?
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, but I think 117 requires talent. And then it's just like, if you had that clip for the Any% World Record History video, that would be so funny. But
gosh, I wish I remember that clip for that video. It would have been so perfect. Just like, that would have been perfect. Like,
but it would have been like kinda such the greatest fade in for the did a portion
like,
of that.
I explained it. I in words, I was just like, you know, people sort of, you know, teased him and stuff. I had no proof though. That would have been clear proof.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, but yeah, I think that it would require talent though. Cause he was just this scrub that kept doing really hard strats that sucked.
It's just like, it's crazy because like that shouldn't work. You shouldn't be able to get good doing that. But no. he was so determined and so motivated that he brute forced those strats until he got consistent and just went nuts.
Maybe he had a healthy mentality under all of that. Maybe he did.
He masked his mentality with all the yelling.
All the yelling and
and all the resets.
And all the mic opening. What was his YouTube video?
Oh, yeah, his new Yeti mic.
Yeah. Anyway,
that was dope.
But yeah, that was the first episode of the podcast. I guess. I guess we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. Here. I don't know if this will ever see the light of day. To be honest, if this ever goes on YouTube, then hi YouTube.
Then light of day, hello.
But we're just kind of like recording something and then seeing if we like it or if we should like tweak it before we actually release it.
Who knows?
We're
just having a conversation. Sided Williams and Average Trey.
Yeah, sitting. We're just, you know. We may talk about a certain thing at times. We may just sort of bullshit around, just whatever we feel like.
Video games are hard.
The key thing that you can get from this is that video games are hard.
No matter how you look at it, no matter how you squeeze it.
Right.
Video games are hard. Follow us also, on Twitter.
One more thing about Diddy is that he has a GoFundMe.
Oh, yeah.
Because apparently he's been having some health issues. Like with some mold in the house causing all kinds of weird shit. I don't fully get it, but his situation's pretty dire right now. So I will, if this goes on YouTube, that's a big if. I will link the GoFundMe in the description if you want to help him out. That's kind of the reason he hasn't really been playing the game recently. I think he wants to play, but because of health issues and stuff and troubles with all that, it's not really possible at the moment. So.
He's definitely tweeted that he's wanted to play.
Yeah. He definitely, if he was in good health, he would be playing, probably having a 113 by now. So who knows? Man's crazy. But yeah, thanks for watching. Or not. God, I'm such a YouTuber. You're not watching this. You're listening to this.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
I guess we recorded a podcast.